WHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Prosecutors are asking for at least 11 years for Sean Diddy Combs when he's sentenced today. CBS's Jared Hill is in New York.
Combs was acquitted on the major charges of sex trafficking and racketeering, avoiding the possibility of life in prison.
An update from the UK on yesterday's attack outside a synagogue in Manchester. CBS's Vicky Barker from London.
It now appears that one of the two people killed and one of the three wounded in yesterday's synagogue attack were shot by police in what Scotland Yard is calling a tragic accident.
Here in the U.S., it's day three of the government shutdown. It means the Labor Department won't release its monthly jobs report this morning. CBS's Michael Wallace says economists and investors are going elsewhere for sometimes conflicting data.
They're looking at this week's numbers from the payroll processor ADP, which said the private sector lost 32,000 jobs in September, and Revelio Labs, which estimates the U.S. added 60,000 jobs last month.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Come out to support the Boys of Winter. Join in the excitement and the thrill of each Wisconsin Rapids River Kings home game. Come cheer on the team with your friends at 105.5 FM.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Federal workers all over Wisconsin are not working, caught in the government shutdown. Savannah Tome Olson reports.
There are about 18,000 federal staffers scattered across the state, and many of them may be furloughed. That includes staff of the Social Security Administration who help people figure out and process benefits, and about 200 workers at the U.S. Forest Service Products Laboratory that's off University here in Madison. And even once lawmakers come to an agreement and federal work resumes, staff's jobs are not guaranteed. President Donald Trump said he was considering laying off, quote, a lot, end quote, of federal workers during the shutdown.
Attorney General Josh Call announced that Wisconsin and a coalition of states secured a court order protecting federal funding for state energy programs intended to help residents and municipalities in Wisconsin save energy and improve resilience. Joanne Krulatz has more.
In August, Wisconsin joined a coalition in filing a lawsuit to block a U.S. Department of Energy policy that capped reimbursement for indirect and fringe cost at 10%. The coalition argued that the policy violated federal law, ignored previously negotiated cost agreements, and threatened states' ability to administer federally funded programs. In Wisconsin, DOE's cap would have cut state energy program funding for indirect and fringe cost from nearly $370,000 to $130,000, creating staffing gaps, limiting oversight, and disrupting support for local energy projects and statewide resilience. The court ruled that DOE's attempt to impose the cap was unlawful.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News. You can find more news and sign up for our weekly newsletter at WFHR.com.
Here come the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Chicago Cubs beat the Padres last night 3-1. It's the first time the Cubs have ever won the final game of a playoff series at Wrigley Field. Up next, they'll face off against the Brewers at American Family Field in Milwaukee. Game one, the best of five National League Divisional Series. Cubs manager Craig Counsell.
It's Cubs-Brewers. That's going to be, you know, as good as it gets. It's always a great atmosphere when the two teams play each other. We'll try to get as many Cubs fans in there as we can. They won't like that, but it's going to be a fun atmosphere. I know that.
Freddie Peralta on the mound for Milwaukee. The first pitch at 1:08 tomorrow afternoon. College football. The Badgers against number 20th ranked Michigan. Tomorrow at 11 a.m. at the Big House in Ann Arbor. The Badgers still dealing with injuries on the offensive line.
It's another one of those things that's just been most difficult. It's not knowing in your preparation who are you or will you have as you get towards Saturday.
That's Badgers head coach Luke Fickell with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
"I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong."
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
The World Dairy Expo is underway in Madison, and tariffs, how they're affecting agriculture, we'll discuss it all with Midwest Farm Report Director Pam Yonke next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News.
Oh, that's pretty good so far. Yeah.
Now, from Nashville, the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, I was a little high there at the end, but that was nice. Thank you, Parker Olson. Yeah. Appreciate that very much.
I do what I can for you, Pat.
Yes, you do. Good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you back here on this Friday morning, October 2nd. Coming up, we will have Joan Esposito and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel forming our Week in Review panel. I'll have a few comments in a couple of minutes here about Derek Van Orden and what he has said this week that further besmirches his service and the uniform that he once wore. But first, let's check in. In the mailbag here in the comment sections of Facebook and YouTube, and from Rob, we've got good morning from Tigerton. Partly cloudy and 56. He's got 5 yards to mow in Tigerton. He says much of northern Wisconsin is now in a drought. Tigerton hasn't had measurable rain since September, and with the falling leaves could increase the fire risk as well. So a good little note of caution from Rob in Tigerton. From a weather standpoint, I mean, it is definitely not fall-like yet, temperature-wise. I mean, we have temperatures that are going to be coming close to or setting records. Then a cold front is supposed to push in sometime around Sunday and will make things breezy. And then we will start the next work week with much more fall-like temperatures. Of course, we've got updated forecasts for you throughout the day on your Civic Media radio station. Tony noting on YouTube, yes, it hasn't rained in a while, which we haven't really noticed because, you know, it isn't like growing season anymore, so folks don't think about it. But yeah, it's starting to get a little dry out there. Let's see. It is 7:08. That seems like as good a time as any to do our first round of the day for the Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. The green and gold would be cash and jewelry. And I believe this might be the final day of this. So you better get some entries in. Entries plural. There are 7 chances to win throughout the course of the day. You send us a text through the Civic Media app. You look up a station. You use the text button. And you send us a keyword before the end of the hour. So before 8 o'clock this morning, you've got to send in the keyword that I'm about to give you. Of all the day's entries in this multi-station, multi-state game, one lucky winner today will get $200 cash and a gold-plated chain, and then one really lucky winner gets the 2-week contest grand prize. That would be 2 club-level indoor seats to see Green Bay versus Minnesota, a little football game in Green Bay on November 23rd, plus a gas card to get you to the game. I'm supposed to get home, too. Total value of the prize package is more than $1,500. And so if you're ready, and I almost am, let's go find that keyword of the day for our Text to Win contest. The word is love. You know, like Jordan. So again, the text word is love. Text that in before 8 o'clock this morning to be entered for our prize of the day and also for the big grand prize. as we start to wrap up the Green and Gold Text to Win contest. Again, love is the word, and your next chance to win will be in the 9 o'clock hour with Greg Bach and Jane Matinair as part of Matinair On Air. All right, well, let's get to what Congressman Derek Van Orden has been doing once again to bring a little dishonor to service that we should be saluting. And I say that as the proud son of a soldier. And I have great admiration and gratitude toward anyone who serves in America's armed forces. But here's the thing. Service in and of itself is not a blank check. There are duties of service that go beyond what you do in a battlefield or in any other capacity. Service is perpetual, and that includes the things that you say and do when you are no longer wearing the uniform, and especially the things you say and do when you run for and serve in elected office. Now, I know there are people like Derek Van Orden who see elected office and politics as some kind of an easy punching bag, and they treat their own service in office as some kind of a joke, like it's beneath them to be part of something that we all like to complain about. But politics isn't something that's beneath you. It's an essential part of a free and functioning democracy. Another essential part of a functional and strong democracy is a healthy respect for the men and women who serve in leadership roles in our military. Now, again, I'm not saying military leaders get a blank check. They, too, can make mistakes. Some of them can be not good people. Some of them not good battle planners in retrospect. But to trash military leadership as a group, as you're about to hear from former Navy SEAL Derek Van Orden, does a disservice not just to the leadership, but to all the troops, sailors, Marines, airmen, and others all up and down the chain of command. So listen to this latest outburst from Congressman Van Orden about military leadership on the Vicki McKenna Show, reacting to what was said to them by Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth earlier this week.
And me and my buddies spent over 20 years in sustained combat, and we have been waiting for somebody to tell these generals to do their damn jobs. They turned the war in Afghanistan and Iraq into a Vanity Fair project. They compete on how many people had in their personal security details. They competed on their quarters to make sure they had the fanciest things ever. And they did things over and over again to get promoted. So we were in Afghanistan for 20 years, but we actually fought about 40 different wars because these general officers and flag officers came in and they had to do their own footprint to get promoted. That's why we lost those wars. The general officers and flag officers turned it into a vanity project, and it was disgusting. And I've never seen any type of vitriol from the enlisted and junior officers towards the general officers and flag officers in the GWAT. And wow. Pete Hegseth is roping them up hard.
At the end there, he says GWAT, that's the acronym for Global War on Terror. Now, set aside the whole Pete Hegseth, Donald Trump debacle, if you can, because on its own, what happened this week was a national embarrassment, and it damaged American prestige across the globe. No matter how much Derek Van Orden wants to cheer for it. But let's set that aside and just focus on Van Orden's desire to play me too, when it comes to talking down the generals. Because again, he is an elected official. Young men and women should be inspired by what he says about service. Instead, he's whining, which is talking pretty big for someone who has 20/20 hindsight about what took place in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's not some kind of a special gift to be able to criticize leaders after an outcome has been determined. So all he's really managed to do is undermine the military. His disdain for his own leaders brings comfort to enemies, and it gives pause to young men and women who might now second guess whether to serve because of his whining. It's also pretty big talk for someone who was, to put it charitably, insurrection adjacent. On the U.S. Capitol grounds on January 6th. That's right, Congressman. We haven't forgotten that either, your role that day. In deciding to fly to Washington on that January 6th day, by the way, using campaign funds, to help rally for a cause that was rooted in a lie by a man who tried to overturn an American election and encourage the armed insurrection that followed. You willingly chose to take part in that. even if you never stepped foot inside the Capitol, even if you personally never attacked a single police officer on the grounds that day, you chose to be there for reasons that were faulty and embarrassing to your own previous service. The role that he played is only magnified as he takes elected office and also now attacks people using the very First Amendment freedoms he allegedly promised to defend. But now when teachers and doctors and people from all walks of life try to assert their First Amendment freedom of expression, people in office, like Congressman Van Orden, get them fired. He simply lacks the emotional temperament to defend our country from enemies foreign and domestic when he sees political disagreements as domestic terrorism and when he sees his military commanders as political targets. It's not just that he's not worthy of the office. He's not worthy of the uniform. And again, we have gratitude for his service at the time in the military, but his service in Congress has become too much of an embarrassment for his district, for the state, and frankly, for the country. It is 7:16 right now, and turning to other and much lighter matters, we now know who the Milwaukee Brewers are going to be playing in the National League Division Series after the Chicago Cubs defeated the San Diego Padres in the wild card round of the playoffs. And so we now know as well the start times for at least the first couple of games, Cubs versus Brewers at American Family Field. And that includes, we also know when the pregame will be taking place for the Brewers too. And it is now a 1:08 first pitch on Saturday, Brewers versus Cubs. So 12:35 is when the pregame will begin on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Park Falls, and Hayward as well. So again, that is for game one on a Saturday afternoon. But then game two, also at American Family Field, is going to be later. It's going to be a late start. The first pitch will be at 8:08, which means the pregame will be about 7:35, Parker, if I'm not mistaken. And that's when, again, we can do what Parker wants in this series, which really has become the story of the day. It's not the Taylor Swift album. It's not anything else. It's Parker declaring that he wants to make the children of Chicago cry.
Yes.
Because of the way the Brewers are going to stomp on the Cubs in the National League Division Series.
Yes.
You have no regrets about saying it that way.
You know, there's more to it than just dunking on Chicago sports fans. It's building character, Pat.
Building character.
Yes.
I like that.
You need to go through adversity in life. And what is sports but adversity?
There is a lot of heartbreak involved, you know. And that's the thing with taking on the Cubs. With this series, it's going to be a case of, you know, highest highs, lowest lows. If we lose, it's going to stink, you know, and something that will always stick with us. But if we can get to the National League Championship Series by ramming it down Craig Counsell's throat and making everybody in Chicago a little more despondent.
Yeah.
I'm here for it. And I'm not just saying that because Chicago radio legend Joan Esposito is waiting here. When we say we want the children of Chicago in tears, we'd be saying that anyway.
Yeah.
But I'm betting Joan's going to want some equal time on this in just a couple of minutes. But before we go, along with the Brewers playing tomorrow against the Cubs, we also have the Badgers playing in Ann Arbor against Michigan. That's an 11 a.m. kickoff, and the coverage will begin at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, and Ripon. Once again, our Go for the Green and Gold Text to Win contest, last day of it, is going on right now. And the word this hour is love. So get on that Civic Media app, head over to any of the stations, and use the text feature and text love, L-O-V-E, before 8 o'clock to be in the running for the daily prize and the grand prize to see Green Bay play Minnesota in Green Bay next month. Great indoor seats for a nice little football game. So still ahead, the aforementioned Joan Esposito and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze are both off this week. And Jim Santel, we're going to talk to him about the recent dismissal of a lawsuit filed by a Waukesha teacher fired for a social media post. Doesn't that sound familiar in this day and age? I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the big house to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
You've probably heard about investors who got in on the ground floor of a company that grew to be a huge success. But successful investing isn't about luck or genius. Instead, it's about building durability. Here are some suggestions. First, think long term. Most investors make their money over time, not overnight. You'll want a well-diversified portfolio of quality investments and plan to own them for the long term. Next, invest in quality. For stocks, quality is often measured by the steadiness of earnings and dividend growth over time. For bonds, one measure is an investment-grade credit rating with a relatively low risk of default. And finally, build a long-term strategy to provide a roadmap for your investment choices. You may want to make changes periodically, but do it for the right reasons, like changing goals or tolerance for risk.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanopi, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI studios.
A rewardingness to construction, as well as a good paycheck that can come from it.
Absolutely, yeah. Especially, I mean, if you look at the specialized industries, so construction, yes, but you know, your welders, your
plumbers,
electricians, plumbers, yes. There are some pretty great benefits and pay that come with those roles. So, definitely something to think about as we think about this housing shortage that we have and all of the different perspectives that play a role in it.
Like so many things, it's never, oh, just point to this and that's the problem.
Right.
There's a lot of layers to this, and you can not only find out more about that on a real chance to no middleman, just straight up the person, people talking, getting this information, but also I think learn more about these industries, and to people that want to be a part of these industries, this is a great opportunity.
Absolutely.
What are the dates again for it?
So the Housing Summit will be April 15th, 2026. That is a Tuesday at UW Stevens Point, in Stevens Point at their Point campus in the Dreyfus University Center.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And Kayla, a couple other things we wanted to touch on with you coming up in the next year. And of course, clean sweep, one of the bigger things that we talk about together.
So a good segue from housing. You know, we talk about housing. Maybe you did do a DIY project on your house. Maybe you put on a deck and you have a bunch of stain left over from putting on that deck. What are you going to do with all that extra stain? You can bring it to clean sweep. Thank you. Let me tell you, the clean sweep numbers that we saw this year in 2025 were totally unprecedented. We served about 386, off the top of my head, residents in our two events. That is more than double what we served last year. I think it's actually more than triple what we served last year. And so there's definitely a need out there, and the word is getting out, and we're so glad to hear that. And thank you to partners like WFHR who are helping us to spread that word. But Clean Sweep is coming up. It will, moving forward, be twice annually. It will be the Saturday after Memorial Day and the Saturday after Labor Day. So if you're using those weekends to do your spring cleanup and your fall cleanup, this is a great time to think about what do you have laying around the house that you can bring to Clean Sweep. So those dates are May 30th, 2026. That will be in Marshfield, and September 12th, 2026 in Wisconsin Rapids. So definitely save the date for those. There are, of course, ways to safely dispose of hazardous wastes in between those events, but sometimes those have different fees associated with them, or you have to drive out of county. So these two events are a great way to dispose of those items that may have been sitting in your garage for 30 years, but now you want them out. Save it for Clean Sweep and bring it by.
Two just side notes about this. One, a big credit to the organizers of this event, really listening to their community, seeing in their community a need, and addressing that not only once but twice a year, giving that option to locals in those areas. It's a really huge benefit, and it's really encouraging to see that. We don't get a ton of that always in society, and it's really nice to be heard and to see that even with people not necessarily saying it out loud, seeing that they're saying it with their actions and the need of this. And to the point that you make of those numbers being higher every year, it shows the community needs it.
Right.
Also, shout out to the community and the people that are recycling these things the right way.
Absolutely.
Not to say that you necessarily deserve a pat on the back for doing the right thing, but in this day and age, I think you
We'll give it to you. We'll give it to you.
Big thank you to all 300 of those people and everything that are getting rid of these products the right way, which not only benefits our earth so much better, but is just smarter for, on economic level and so many other things. Never forget, everybody, the damage we do is going to get cleaned up eventually, and the check's going to come eventually. Might as well start cutting on it now, and you can do that by doing these kind of things. That's great. Clean Sweep, we'll be talking much more about as we get closer to it, of course.
Absolutely.
And we'll have you back on, and we'll talk about it a little bit more in detail.
Yeah.
And the science, one of our favorite events, Science by the River, right around the corner.
It is. Yeah. So we talked about 2026. Now we're going to hammer in on just a couple of days from today, Saturday, October 18th. My colleagues, Jen and Anna, in the Extension office have been hard at work planning for Science by the River. This is one of my favorite events each year. I've got two young children, as James and I have talked about in the past, and they love this event. So it goes from Ben Hansen Park all the way up to Veterans Memorial Park along the beautiful Wisconsin River. There are tons of interactive science stations that kiddos and adults alike can enjoy. One of the coolest stories I think that came from this event last year is that the Central Wisconsin ham radio operators were there.
Yeah.
And a middle schooler was able to, so they were trying out ham radio, and they were actually able to talk to someone on the International Space Station.
It's crazy.
Just because of the time of day it was and the way that it, you know, it picked up. Like, how crazy is that? At That's Science awesome. By the River in Wisconsin Rapids, they got to talk to someone in space. In space!
It's wild.
Yeah, so that's my testament to the cool things that happen at Science by the River. But it's going to be super fun, and I highly encourage everyone to come out.
This is such a wonderful event on many different levels. And one of the things that's cool about it certainly is it's a free event for families.
Yeah.
And it's one of those ones where you can take the course if you'd like, but you can also just stop by stations if you want. Oh, this one's interesting to me. This one, maybe not as much. So you stop at one and not the other, maybe. The weather looks nice. Looks like it's going to be a really good day for it so far. Fingers crossed, everybody knock on wood. I'm going to slip Mother Nature a 20 and see if that helps a little bit.
That's a good idea.
it's a great event, not only for kids to learn and kids to learn in a fun way, but hey, adults, you know, you learn some stuff too here. It's a really fun one. And as it's getting colder out, we know we get more and more stuck indoors. Get outside.
Right.
Enjoy the nature. Yeah. That
especially
alone.
Especially this fall has been so unseasonably warm. So definitely let's make the best of it while we can. And this is another great way to do that. One of the other things that I saw recently, so Science by the River is actually part of the Wisconsin Science Festival. So there are science activities happening all across the state that week. Really cool that Wisconsin Rapids and Wood County right here are a part of it. And I also was just reading the Food and Farm Exploration Center in Plover, their newsletter. My children are big fans of Food and Farm. And Food and Farm is going to be there. They're going to have an interactive exhibit.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
Welcome in on a Friday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff, and this is the Midwest Farm Report. Today, we're bringing a story straight from the show ring at World Dairy Expo. Meet Cammie Dorn, one half of Cadence Farms in New Glarus, Wisconsin. Together with her husband, they milk about 65 registered Guernsey cows in a tie stall barn while also working 500 acres of row crops. This year, their dedication paid off in a truly unforgettable way. Their cow, Cadence Farms Lovely, was named Grand Champion and Senior Champion of the International Guernsey Show.
I mean, this means everything. These are the goals, right? I mean, you put in the effort of working with them regularly. The cow that won Grand was bred by my in-laws, Dennis and Mary Kay. I mean, it's a dream come true to see your cow shine out there. When my family sold out in 2017, I took some of their cows and joined his family farm. So we have like three prefixes under one family farm. And to see his cow win Grand, his side of the family, and then my side of the family cow won Reserve Grand, to see both of our families tie in together and win the show was just, I mean, what more could you ask for?
Cammie Dorn of Cadence Farms in New Glarus. Find more World Dairy Expo coverage at MidwestFarmReport.com. I've got more agribusiness news on the way.
Maybe you remember finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too much carnival food. We all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs to share the fair story. We're accepting entries now, and there are cash prizes. To enter and see full contest details, visit MidwestFarmReport.com.
There goes Pam Yonke across Wisconsin in her suburban truck. Thanks to Equity Livestock Cooperative, marketing your livestock, financing your operation, and supporting the livestock community since 1922. And to Cleary Building Corp. Cleary Building Corp. Built with pride before the shamrock is applied. Explore clearybuilding.com today. Keep up with Pam at MidwestFarmReport.com and on Facebook and Instagram.
A case of highly pathogenic avian influenza, or H5N1, has been confirmed in a commercial poultry flock in Jefferson County. The virus does not pose a risk to the food supply. There have been no detections in Wisconsin's dairy herd. In other news, October is Cooperative Month. Here at World Dairy Expo, we're talking with a few of Wisconsin's 700-plus cooperatives, such as Organic Valley, Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, and Farm First, to name a few. From the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
Fall-like temperatures will be back next week. We're going to be dealing with this sunny summer-like weather for a few more days. Today, sunshine, mid to upper 80s for a high this afternoon. Tonight, back into the 60s. Tomorrow, sunny and windy with a high again in the mid to upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
He scores! Wow! He ripped one over the glove of Heaney!
it's on.
And save! Badgers win the shootout.
In America's college hockey capital.
Empty net goal at the horn. Badgers finish Michigan.
Badger hockey lives here.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric Inc., Rapids Transmission, Junkyard Bar & Grill, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4:30, I'll be joined by State Representative Lee Snodgrass, who's joined with Democrats to introduce a bill that makes it a requirement for elected officials to spend some time working on elections. What a novel idea.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Man, look at us collecting all this love over here, mostly because that's the key word for this hour, love, L-O-V-E, and the Go for the Green and Gold text to win contest. But let me get over to my other screen here and thank some of the folks who have been texting in. Jessica and Cudahy did. Let's see. There's Rhonda in South Milwaukee. Jim in Brookfield. Yep, you got it there. But Jim in Germantown, that was a misspelling. Just to give you a hint, you might want to try again and put in love, L-O-V-E. Let's see. And then we've got Meredith and Madison also got the keyword wrong. She sends in on the text line, "Oh, I love gym time." Well, that's not the keyword, but that is probably a commentary on Jim Santel. So, Jim, you have a fan out there as well.
The bar is now very high. I'll try to live up to that expectation.
I don't doubt that you can do that all the way. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is here, as well as Joan Esposito from WCPT Radio in Chicago. Find what she's doing over at heartlandsignal.com. Jim, let me start with you now on something with a tie to Wisconsin, a court case. And I don't know if we're going to be all done hearing about it or if there's going to be an appeal, but it's about a teacher in Waukesha who made a social media post about the song Rainbow Land not being used. The school district wouldn't allow it to be used. She put up a post about it. And now for the second time in a week, we're talking about a Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. This particular one filed a First Amendment lawsuit, which was recently dismissed. Well, what's your take on that?
Well, and this is once again underscoring what we all are focusing on today, as you just indicated, First Amendment rights. This is Melissa Temple. I should say to you and Joan and your listeners that I know Melissa well. And although she was never a client of mine, I certainly have spoken to her about these kinds of issues and worked with her in the community. So I want to let everybody know that up front, in terms of who she is and where she comes from. Got it just right. The big question here as I look at this is, got it again, Pat, accurately noting that she complained about the fact that the district is not allowing her first grade class to sing Rainbow Land. So that's how we're talking about these issues today. What happens is she does file this lawsuit, goes to a federal magistrate judge. Her name is Nancy Joseph. Interestingly, she is also the same magistrate judge who recently recommended to the district court the case against Hannah Dugan not be dismissed. Here, the judge interestingly finds that Ms. Temple, Melissa, was in fact speaking as a private citizen at the time, and that she was speaking on a matter of public concern. You might think, well, gee, private citizen, public concern, shouldn't that mean that she's got the capacity to do it? All kinds of cases out there. There's an interesting case called Garcetti from 20 years ago having to do with these very issues and the restrictions on government employees there. But here in the end, the magistrate judge says you got to do some balancing, which is what typically judges do. And she says that the interests of the school board when it comes to things like receiving phone calls and some additional police presence that they decided to have at various locations, some emails and staff they're banding about, some disharmony, as they said, among some staff members, all of that, overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly. And that's the issue that should be debated in the public domain.
I just don't know about that, Joan. Yeah. When it says that the teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations so that its interest took precedence in the case. And look, you can accuse me of going apples and oranges here, but if she couldn't put up a social media post about a song, what if this were 50, 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school? Would we also say, well, that just disrupted the district's operations? You've got to let them stay segregated. And Joan, I know you and I, you know, aren't former U.S. attorneys, but on appearances, this just looks funny.
Jim, this is why people hate the courts. Mm-hmm. They really do. This whole, both sides. That's essentially the, I mean, it's a First Amendment right. And even if she did disrupt what happened at the school board, maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted. This is the kind of court ruling that makes me just want to tear out my hair. Well, this idea that somehow you can make everybody happy, or, well, you're really right, but you're not all that right, or maybe there's some right in the other side. Kill me now.
It's a matter of, when it comes to social media posts, which I get, we're still in the relative infancy of social media in terms of, you know, the history of the entire constitutional republic here, Jim. But marry that along with the Ellsworth teacher who Congressman Derek Van Orden, you know, helped get ousted from a job for a social media post. And I don't want to believe that the recommendation here is that teachers are some kind of a lesser employee and therefore should not have First Amendment rights on social media. I get if you accuse me of being oversimplistic.
Right. Lesser human being is right. What that judge is saying.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I don't think you are being simplistic at all. We know that there's no right that is unqualified, is unconditional, but we've always placed, as Joan was just indicating, the First Amendment, right? We talk a lot about how, even if this does have some disruption, the courts are plain. You can say offensive things. You can say things that are unpopular. We exalt that. We say that that's the marketplace of ideas. Even if you don't like them, that's what the First Amendment is all about. And here again, we've got a situation where the question, as you said at the outset, Pat, is you take this up on appeal. My concern, candidly, and I know that the lawyers are going to be talking about this, is you don't want the Court of Appeals to codify something here, maybe affirming the district court judge. It basically says, well, you know, if you've got a governmental entity, if you've got a school board, and the community doesn't like what the teacher said, then you can fire that person or impose some discipline. That would be a very bad precedent at a higher court level that I'm concerned about as this goes forward.
Well, then, Jim, can we get that Fox host fired who said that unhoused people should be euthanized? How right. about that? That was right. offensive to me.
Absolutely. And we protect that, right? That's exactly the point, Joan, right? We protect that offensive language, yes.
You know, when I appear on Joan's show occasionally down in Chicago, there's one subject that always seems to come, well, there are a few, but Derek Van Orden, the congressman, comes up with increasing frequency. I don't know if Joan has me on all the time just to share the latest crazy thing that Ron Johnson said, or now Derek Van Orden. But earlier in this hour, we played a clip from him on a radio show, just absolutely trashing the, you know, the generals and all the other military leaders, you know, based on his own experience in Iraq and Afghanistan. And I'm not taking away anything from Derek Van Orden's First Amendment rights, even though he's going after other people's First Amendment rights. However, Jim, you know, as somebody like yourself who served as well, I wondered how those comments set with you, not just the ones that Pete Hegseth and Donald Trump made about military leaders, but a sitting member of Congress from Wisconsin and retired Navy SEAL saying the things that he said about America's military leadership.
They set very, very badly with me. I spent about 2 years or so as a civilian working with JAG attorneys who are spectacular. And yes, the colonels and the generals there who, again, regardless of what you may think about the war and all those issues, a lot of baggage there. These are tirelessly working people. And the notion that somehow they are engaged in some sort of vanity projects there, I saw nothing of that. And in fact, for what it's worth, with respect to the convocation there at Quantico with the president, the secretary of defense, I recall very well that when the generals and colonels were summoned back to Washington from Baghdad and from Kirkuk and from Mosul, other places, with due respect, they would never say this out loud. They hated it. Why? Because, again, number one, they could communicate much more easily, even by civets across the planet. But number two, it removed them from their capacity in the field to do the jobs that they were doing. So many things about this, including Van Orden's comment, are not just actually wrong as a very, very provable matter, but also hugely offensive to me, who watched our military in that setting do nothing but protect the interests of not just Americans and our interests there, but also Iraqi populations, other members of our coalition forces there.
And Joan, I mean, what happened there this week was, again, it was an embarrassment to hear what Donald Trump and Pete Hegseth had to say. But I mean, we use this phrase all the time, but we now have the ultimate example of this meeting could have been an email. What was the discussion like for you and your listeners?
Well, I had retired former Major General Randy Manner on to talk about it. And he, you know, he reiterated over and over again that the military will not forget their obligation is to serve the Constitution and to serve the people. And they're not political. At one point, did you hear when Donald Trump was speaking to them? He looked at them and he said, you know, you can applaud. And Randy said, no, actually, I mean, these aren't just green recruits, you know, who are going to applaud every time Donald Trump looks at them. These are the brass. They have military discipline. They want to be, they're supposed to be apolitical. And you're absolutely right. Randy pointed out part of the reason why this in-person gathering was so expensive. He said, when you're at that level in the military, when you travel with aides, you travel with security. Every person in that room basically showed up in Washington with an entourage. It cost millions for that in-person meeting. And of course, they have secure channels. You know, Randy said that within 1 hour, with 1 hour's notice, this same crowd could have been gathered to hear the same message over secure channels.
I honestly wonder, coming out of all of this, because of everything you just said, Joan, all the security, all the travel arrangements and everything, how much more was this an intelligence gathering operation for Vladimir Putin and others? They got such a view of how American military command and security works at a global level that they never would have received otherwise. And honestly, Donald Trump does not have a filter. And if at some point he says, you know, about this, oh yeah, I got that idea. You know, Vladimir gave me that idea. He thought it would be a good idea to get all the leadership together. And he's just a useful enough puppet to be used in that way. And I'm just, again, just embarrassed at what came of this and you know, how we go forward from here. I've only got about 2 minutes left here, so I just want to get some really quick answers on the shutdown before we go to break here. Jim, we'll start with you again as a former U.S. attorney. What's the impact of government shutdowns when it comes to federal prosecutors having to do their work and continue to seek justice?
Two very important points. I dealt with this when I was U.S. attorney during the shutdown of the Obama administration. Two things. The notion that government is not affected by this and you're still getting your mail and your Social Security checks, that's a very good thing. But it does have an impact upon inside the Department of Justice. Attorneys doing their job representing you in the courts of America, civil cases, criminal cases. We had to make hard decisions about who goes home and, at least for the immediate future, does not get paid. And the second point, which I'll make very quickly, Pat, equally so, is these are civil servants. They are not political people. I was horrified. People were crying in my office because we were sending them home. They could not do their jobs, instructed not to do their jobs. That would be in violation of the law. People so committed to their jobs that they were firmly upset by what's going on. And I look to the Congress, and once again, I say, a pox on both your houses. Get your act together. Could you imagine being in a corporation, a nonprofit, and the board of directors being told, well, we just didn't get a budget put together in time, and so we're shutting down. I recognize there's an awful lot of argument on both sides about this, the merits of what's going on. But this is, frankly, once again, upsetting to me as a former government official, and it compromises the integrity of the government, prevents people from doing what they should be doing on behalf of the people of the United States of America. Congress, do your job.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito are here talking about the headlines of the week, and we thank them very much for being a part of our Friday. And remember, in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll have Dr. Kristen Lierley here and Mike Clemens talking a little sports with us as well. I'm Pat Kreitlow, live from Nashville today. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, Treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. September 16th, Maine and Oregon were the first to be sued by the Trump Department of Justice for refusing to provide voter data to be shared within federal agencies. Six more states have been sued, and it could be a good thing. September 25th, DOJ rolled out complaints for Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Minnesota, New Hampshire, and New York. In August, Pennsylvania Secretary of State Al Schmidt, a Republican, told DOJ, "Your letter dated August 14 specifically asked for detailed personal and confidential information, including driver's license numbers and Social Security numbers, for all Pennsylvania voters. This request and reported efforts to collect broad data on millions of Americans represent a concerning attempt to expand the federal government's role in our country's electoral process," unquote. States have loudly reminded DOJ that the states and Congress are empowered by the U.S. Constitution for election oversight, not the federal government, and that the requests violate both state and federal privacy statutes. Writing in Election Law Blog, professor of law at LMU Loyola Law School, Justin Levitt, writes that the DOJ legal action could turn out to be a good thing. He said, "Now there will be federal judges carefully examining the claims that DOJ has made about its authority under specific statutes and truly putting them to the test." We've linked to more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
We're not comfortable.
I believe it's fall already. Where did the summer go?
I know, it flies by faster every year.
Well, I suppose we better start checking off the fall to-do list before we know it.
Shh, don't say the S word.
Snow?
Yes.
We live in Wisconsin, honey. It's coming, but we have to get the furnace checked before fall. Remember that awful noise it made last year? Who should we call?
Your parents just had Tri-City Services install their new AC and said they did a great job. Let's call them.
Here, let me Google them. Hey, their website is calltricity.com. Easy to remember.
Call Tri-City Services now to get a free quote on a new heating system. Visit TriCity.com or call Tri-City Services at 715-423-5840 today to get a free quote on a new furnace and heat pump and get a free water heater before it gets too cold. Call TriCity.com.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapid Support, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. And this episode in particular is brought to you also by Tri-City Services. A big shout out to both of those wonderful organizations. Buy local, support local. And buying local, supporting local is the definition of things over at the Southwood County YMCA, our guests today. We're going to be talking with them. We also have a good friend of ours from the Boys and Girls Club who we're getting into. I'll let you guys introduce yourselves so the audience can put a voice to the name and we'll get going from there. Yeah. We'll start on the end here, actually.
Okay. Hi. My name is Cheyenne Kester. I am the administration director at the Boys and Girls Club of the Wisconsin Rapids area.
Cheyenne, great to have you here. We don't get to talk to the Boys and Girls Club nearly enough. Wonderful to have you here. Thanks
Thank
for
you.
The time.
Yeah, thanks.
Hi, and I'm Heather Kashani. I'm the executive director with the Southwood County YMCA.
Heather, good to see you again. It's been a while. Nice to have you here with us. Appreciate the time. And certainly, right out the gate, appreciate so much the work that you and your teams do for our community and our kids. Thank you so much. We greatly appreciate the work there. And we'll get into how people can get in touch with you both and your organizations before we wrap up. But we got, I'm sorry. The audience knows me well enough now. You can hear the excitement in my voice. I'm going to get to talk about Halloween stuff right now, everybody, and I'm so jacked about this. The Monster Mash that is coming up, this is a joint collaboration between both of your organizations, right?
Yes, that's correct. The Monster Mash will be held on October 30th. It is a joint collaboration between the Boys and Girls Club and the YMCA. We use the whole facility for the event. We're super excited. It runs from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., We do ask, it is open to the community. We do just ask that everybody brings a non-perishable food item that we will then take and return to SWEP.
Before we get into the details of the event and what's going on with it, I know that this isn't the first or certainly the last, but how good does it feel when you guys get to work together, your organizations get to partner on events like this? I'll start with you, Cheyenne.
Yeah, it's really fun because, you know, our buildings are connected and we see each other from time to time, but to really get to work together on these things, especially something like Halloween, that's super fun for not only their daycare members and our club members, but just the community in general.
Yep, and we're always excited to be able to collaborate as much as possible and to bring the community together to really be that hub to support everybody we can. So events like this allow that opportunity.
I love to highlight this. I know, and this isn't a negative, but we kind of normalize this stuff, especially in this area. But living in a lot of different places, I've seen much more of nonprofits being more for themselves in a lot of ways. And understandable, but in this community, we're so much stronger because we work together. And my good friend, mentor, learned this from Terry Johns at the United Way. And please don't tell her I said any of that. Terry, I saw that from the work that she would do and such, and how much stronger our community was compared to others because we work together. And just when these things happen, I like to highlight that. That's a really cool thing. And then there's the event itself, which is very cool, very awesome. What are the details? What should people know, Cheyenne, about your guys' involvement at the Boys and Girls Club with the Monster Mash?
Yes. So at the Boys and Girls Club, in our part of the building, we'll be doing the Haunted House. And so it will be very kid-friendly, very family-friendly, not too scary, because we know we get a lot of young ones there, and so we want to make it fun and very family, spooky-oriented. So more of a haunted walk through.
Ooh, yes. I like that. Ooh, copyright yes. That. That's good.
Yes, and it is themed with the Monster Mash. So classic Monster Mash song, that's what it's going to be based around. That's what you can expect.
Very cool. Very nicely done. Thank you for that. Thank you. As far as the Y's involvement and what people can expect from that, what will be going on over there with that?
Yeah, so our gym will have a DJ with music so everybody can come in and dance. There'll be a costume contest. We have crafts set up throughout the facility and just different activities and games for people to participate in.
You know, the event itself, and I think even opening your doors on Halloween, literally just doing that is a welcome thing for the community, a great thing for the community. And we know as Halloween has changed so much, even from when you guys were kids, let alone when I was, and I'm old and all that. But I know it's changed a lot, but I love that the event is still what it is, and it's still kid focused and family focused. And it, in some ways, I think it's gotten stronger in many ways because of one of the things that used to keep maybe families from celebrating or getting into it was some of the concerns you would have. Events like this are so safe and there's so much to do at them that you really are still getting the full extent of all the things we enjoyed about Halloween. You know, it's just a little different, just adapted a little bit different to the times. Nonprofits, events like your guys is the ones that you're hosting here, that might mean that much more in the community. It's not just giving communities and these families something to do. It's really keeping an American tradition alive and well and doing strong. I think that there's something for that. There's something to be said for that, along with also getting to dress up. That's always fun. That's always fun. It's always fun to be. I'm an actor. I get to do this all the time. One of the things I love about Halloween is everybody gets to be an actor. As far as the costume contest, keep that in mind, everybody, when you're putting these costumes together. That's a fun part of it. The DJ, I love the addition of that. That's different. That's something that you don't see at a lot of these. Yeah. And then there's the building itself and the Y and the Boys and Girls Club themselves. And if you are a resident or new to the area and have not gotten a chance to experience either of these or know much about these organizations, what a perfect time. Come on by, not only have some fun with the family and enjoy Halloween, maybe the haunted walkthrough, or even some of the cool things that the Y are doing, but also get maybe some answers to those questions about these organizations and what they can offer for you and your family. It's a real win-win. That's a good one. What are the details? What time and date is the Monster Mash going on, yep. Heather?
So the Monster Mash is October 30th from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., once again, it's open to the whole community. We just ask that you bring a non-perishable food item that we will take in and then donate to SWEPs.
And one other thing that I think is noteworthy about our Y and our Boys and Girls Club, and you guys do these kind of things all the time, notice that most people will see, okay, cool, we're adding to the food pantry. That's wonderful. And it is. And there's no taking light. It's one of my bigger causes that I care about in hunger in this community and all communities. But there's another lesson there on that, too, for kids. Because you're going there with your family, your kids, you're all dressed up. Maybe you're all dressed up as the Addams Family, something like that fun. And you're walking around with a bunch of cans of food. And they're going to see you handing those off to people and know why you're doing that. And boom, right there in that little sponge of a brain it takes in, I'm helping people. And I'm having fun. And the more they see that, the more that stays.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Sean Diddy Combs expected to speak in court before he's sentenced today for his conviction on prostitution-related charges. He wants to go free. His accusers want him to stay in prison. CBS New York's Ali Bauman.
Star witness Cassie Ventura submitted a letter expressing her worries that Combs or his associates will come after me and my family for testifying at trial.
The Senate will try again today to pass a short-term budget bill to end the three-day-old government shutdown. Majority Leader John Thune.
If we can just find a few more Democrats to join us, we can end this shutdown.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
We are ready, we are willing, we are able to sit down with anyone, anytime, any place.
Just announced the administration will withhold $2.1 billion for Chicago infrastructure projects. He grew up a Red Sox fan, but rookie pitcher Cam Schlittler helped the Yanks knock Boston out of the playoffs.
A dirty dozen for Schlittler.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.